Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this second day of briefing here at Black Hat. I am Emanuele Zambon, PhD student at Twente University in Netherlands. And this briefing covered the burning theme of false positive reduction in intrusion detection system. It is the result of over 2 years of joint research between me and Damiano Bolzoni, who is a PhD student in 22. The speech is structured as follows. We first talk about the common problems affecting network intrusion detection system, especially those related with false positives, and we then introduce a new strategy for reducing the false positive rate for intrusion detection system based on the inspection of the outbound network traffic. We then present Poseidon, that is a payload-oriented anomaly detection system that we developed as an outbound traffic validator for our architecture. And then we deal with the issues related with the correlation between the rising of an alert by the intrusion detection system and the output traffic validation. And we present the whole high-level architecture of Aphrodite, that is our architecture for false positive reduction. And we show our benchmark that we conducted on a standard data set as well as with real network traffic. Nowadays, employing the network intrusion detection system are usually made of a number of different sensors that are disposed on the network environment. Each sensor raises its alert and sends those alerts to some collection point where alerts can be inspected usually manually by the security personnel. Some research states that the number of alerts that can be raised by a single sensor can be huge, can be very large, about 15,000 per day, 15,000 alerts per day. And this research also states that the most part of these alerts are in reality illicit action and therefore are false positives. And this is a great problem for the security personnel because they have to inspect all the alerts manually in order to decide if a given alert is an attack or not. And given this great number of alerts, there is a time window between the alert is detected and a countermeasure can be disposed for a possible attack. And another bad consequence about false positive is that the security personnel can lose confidence in the reliability of the network intrusion detection system, and therefore it could decide on lowering the defense by deciding on reduce the number of checks the IDS does, and this would expose the systems. As an example of the false positive problem, here we have a simple snort rule that is used for detecting the path traversal attacks. And this simple rule states that snort should raise an alert as soon as it finds a HTTP packet containing this special character sequence dot dot slash. So let's think about an HTML page published by one of the web servers monitored by the IDS sensor that has a simple IMG tag containing on the SRC attribute the dot dot slash character sequence. This would imply that the intrusion detection systems north would raise an alert. But this is not an attack at all. So this is a false positive. What can be done to solve this problem? Well, we could say that tuning the IDS by introducing some exception to the rule could be the solution of the problem. But while this can be simple in this specific case, if we think to the wide number of of rules that a single sensor can have, and the huge number of exceptions, different exceptions that there could be, we can see that this task is not feasible, is very hard. So tuning the IDS is very important for reducing the false positive rate, but is not the ultimate solution. Well, let's go another bit deeper into the intrusion detection system way to operate. Well, they usually raise an alert as soon as they find any sign of a possible attack. So, what they should do instead would be to wait raising the alert until they find some kind of confirm that an attack is actually taking place. So the alert should be considered as a sort of warning, and then we should start to inspect the system and the network behavior in order to confirm that an attack is actually taking place. And this would reduce the number of false positives. Well, the question is about how can we provide such a confirm to the network intrusion detection system. And the answer is we can observe the outbound network traffic originating from the system monitored by the intrusion detection system, and this traffic could provide the confirm we need to give to the intrusion detection system for knowing that an attack is taking place. And nowadays, intrusion detection system doesn't consider at all the outbound traffic, and this because it is very unlikely to find an attack pattern in outbound traffic. It is more likely to find attack patterns in incoming traffic. In our opinion, outbound traffic should be considered to find out not a sign of an attack, not the attack pattern, but also the reaction to the system to this attack. And we can see this by this table in which we have a taxonomy of different kinds of attack as given by William Stallings. Attacks are classified as interruption, interception, modification, and fabrication attacks. And for interruption attacks, we have that are attacks that compromise the availability of a system. When an attacker is able to dump a system, we will observe in the outbound traffic that the communication is stopped. So there is a difference between the normal behavior of outbound traffic. While for interception attacks, that are attacks that affect the confidentiality of a system, attackers usually will try to access information the system would normally not provide. So observing the outbound traffic, we will see such information that is usually not provided by the system and that is in some way unusual. While for modification and fabrication attacks, that are attacks involving the integrity of the system, attackers are able to alter the contents of the system or to introduce new objects into the system, and this usually imply that there is an alteration on the behavior of the system itself. So this alteration will probably result in a different way to communicate, and so a different on the network, so a different outbound traffic. So in the case that attacks are not successful, we will see a difference in the output traffic too, because the system will provide some kind of error messages, and these error messages will be seen as unusual. So the idea behind our architecture for reducing the false positive is quite simple. This is to provide a way to the confirm of the attack by inspecting the outbound traffic. And for inspecting the outbound traffic, there are different approaches that we can take into account. But for instance, we can see that it is very difficult to build a database of patterns of the possible reactions to the attack. So an approach based on a sort of signature of reactions of attacks is infeasible, because each system will react in a different way for a given attack, given and this just because it has different custom data on it, and just because it is configured differently for every instance of a system. So we must focus on anomaly detections, in anomaly detection for this purpose, for detecting anomalies on the outbound traffic. And anomaly detection is more suitable because it is trained with the data, with the normal data, outbound data of the system, and then an anomaly detection system try to evaluate the traffic it observed, finding out the anomalies, and such anomalies would be considered as a reaction to the attacks. Another problem related to our architecture is about the correlation, because we have the problem is how can we associate the raised alerts by the network intrusion detection system with the outbound evaluation, outbound traffic evaluation. How much time have we to wait before, without detecting any anomaly, before we can say that an alert is a false positive? And another problem is about when we do not observe any kind of response to a given alert, how do we interpret this? So we need a correlation engine that is able to talk both with the network intrusion detection system and with the output anomaly detection engine in order to relate the events and be able to confirm that an attack is taking place. And for this reason, to build the first part of our architecture, that is the output anomaly detection engine, we studied different approaches on anomaly detection system. And such anomaly detection system, these approaches are usually based on statistical models that are used to provide, used to define the normal behavior of the network environment. And to build these statistical models, different approaches use different techniques, because some approaches use the information on the header of the packets on the network, while other approaches use the information on the payload. Well, for our purposes, we can see that the payload-based approaches are more suitable, because we are trying to find reaction to attacks that are more likely to be found on the payload and not on the header. There will not be header misuse on the communication. The most famous anomaly detection system based on the payload analysis is PAIL, that was developed by Salvatore Stolfo and his research group. We started from the PAIL algorithm to improve it, and we built Poseidon, that stands for PAIL over SOM for intrusion detection. We actually added another tier before the PAIL algorithm. We built a two-tier architecture for anomaly detection by introducing self-organizing maps. And we found out that this approach increased the the ability to find the anomalies of Pale. Pale works as works with models, and each model is classified by the IP address, network IP address, the destination service port, and the payload length. And given its nature of its statistical approach, Pale needs a training phase before starting. So during the training phase, those models are computed, and for each model, some statistical values are stored. Then, in the detection phase, for each observed payload, it is compared the byte frequency distribution of this payload with the statistical values of the associated model, and the Mahalanobis distance is calculated. And if such distance exceeds a given threshold, then this sample, observed sample, is classified as an anomaly, so as a possible attack. Unfortunately, Pale has some weaknesses, and one of the weaknesses is that it is prone to mimicry attacks because it inspects the byte frequency distribution, and for attackers, it is possible to craft attack packets with by padding some characters in order to make the packet seem to be normal, to have a normal byte frequency distribution. And another bigger problem of Pale is about the misclassification of the models, because the payload length parameter is not suitable for classifying models. As an example, we can say that if we would have to classify fruits, and we use the weight as a parameter for the classification, we could see that a big apple and a banana having the same weight being actually two different fruits, while using a different parameter such as the shape, it would be different, because an apple and a banana, whatever the weight, would be classified in two different models. And this is the case for Pale, because two payloads having being quite the same payload, but having a small difference in the payload length, will be split in two different clusters, in two different models, and this is not a good classification. So what can be done to improve Pale? We need another parameter different from the payload length in order to build the models, and this parameter must take into account the whole payload information. We want the classification algorithm work in an unsupervised manner, and we want that similar payloads are classified in the same class, and different payloads are split into two different classes. So this is a typical clustering problem. So we focused on different clustering algorithms, trying the most popular ones, such as K-mean, K-medoids. But the one having the best results was the self-organizing map. That is a neural network, a single-layer neural network, that is suitable for classifying high-dimensional data, such as the payload of the packet that is high-dimensional data. The self-organizing map to perform the classification needs a training phase, an initialization and a training phase. During initialization, a number of parameters must be set, and these parameters then influence the behavior of the classification. Then, during the training, a training set can be used to train the network and to make the network able to to do the classification. And an important feature of the self-organizing map is that the classification it provides helps in avoiding mimicry attacks. And this is because we use two different approaches during the first step and the second step. During the first step, we compare the payloads by its byte value, byte per byte. While in the PAL algorithm, we compare the byte frequency distribution. So it's much more difficult for an attacker to craft a payload with the pad characters in order to make the packet be seem normal for both the two levels, and this helps in avoiding mimicry attacks. So the whole architecture of Poseidon is presented here. We have a new tier, a new level that is composed by the self-organizing map that provides the classification. The self-organizing map needs a training and training phase. So first we have to train the first level, and then we can use the classification for the PAL algorithm. First for training the PAL algorithm, and then for detection. So two different training phases are needed. But it is important to note that for updates, so when the network environment changes, if the amount of the change is small, we can only retrain PAL models without retraining the self-organizing map. While for biggest changes on the network environment, we need actually retrain both the levels. We benchmarked Poseidon with respect of PAL on the same dataset, that is the DARPA 1999 dataset, it's a standard dataset. The same dataset that was used by the PAL crew, we applied the same restriction as the PAL crew in order to compare the results. And here in this graph, in these charts, you can see in the blue line is about Poseidon, and the green line is about PAL, and the red line is about our experiment we did with PAL, because the information about the detection rate with PAL, we extracted this information from the PAL paper, and then we wanted a confirm of this data, so we repeated the PAL tests ourselves, and we can see that Poseidon overcomes PAL on every benchmark protocol, and in particular we can see that for HTTP traffic we have the best results, having 100% detection rate with about 0% false positive rates. So Poseidon is not suitable only for output anomaly detection, but also as a standalone network intrusion detection system, anomaly based.
Okay, let's have now finally put all together to get what Aphrodite can do. In this picture, you can see the general architecture of our solution, and in the upper part of the image, you could see that there is an input needs analyzing all the traffic that is incoming in our network. This is the most common, I mean, the normal configuration that we have. So this needs is not immediately forwarding every kind of alert to the IT personnel, but it's instead of doing that, it's forwarding a proto alert. So it's not really, it's not confirmed yet that this is an alert, and it's forwarding this inside the Aphrodite architecture. What happened is that we have our web farm, for example, on the right, and so Aphrodite is waiting for the web server or any kind of services that is monitored to produce the output. So when the output will be finally sent to the user or to the supposed attacker, our output anomaly detector will analyze it. In this case, we want to stress that the input needs can be any kind of intrusion detection system, so being signature-based or anomaly-based, this doesn't really matter right now. But the output anomaly detector, as the name said, it's Poseidon. So it's our anomaly detection-based system. So the output anomaly detector inspects the payload, and finally it produces this anomaly score. And if this anomaly score is exceeding a given threshold, the correlation engine will finally produce the alerts. If this is not happening, so this threshold is not exceeded, then the alert will be considered as a false positive, and the IT personnel will not be disturbed by this activity. And then the traffic will flow normally out of our network. So let's now have a closer look to what's really happening inside. So the correlation engine receives the proto alert from the intrusion detection system monitoring the input, and it starts to track the connection. Right now we are talking about TCP data flows because, we could consider UDP, ICMP, but nowadays almost all the traffic that we see on the internet and that we are interested in protecting is something going on TCP. So we are talking about TCP connection and TCP streams. So the TCP connection is marked by the correlation engine, and since that moment the correlation engine is waiting for the output anomaly detector for this kind of response. Then, as I said before, if the threshold has been exceeded, then the alert will be really forwarded by the correlation engine to the IT personnel. But there are some exceptions. Like, for example, when we said before, if the attacker is aiming to generate a denial of service, then we will not see any kind of response, so we cannot analyze anything. So the correlation engine has also has to wait a certain amount of time, so we can say 1 minute or 30 seconds. Nowadays I would wait 10 seconds, but if you really want to be sure, 1 minute is okay. And if the output is missing, then this is considered in any case an attack that has taken place and that the system is down. Then we have other two exceptions that are related. Let's say that if the input network intrusion detection system that we are using, that we put inside the architecture, is an anomaly based, then we can use other information to enforce the idea that what is happening is really an attack and is not a false positive. So we can use, for example, the anomaly score given by the input intrusion detection system to, let's say that if this scores is really exceeding the threshold that has given to the input detection system, like 10 times greater, then we can say that we can flag anyway the proto alert as an alert. And then we have another information that we can use. This is generally not provided by signature-based system like Snort, for example, because Snort is like reassembling the all connection payload and then looking inside for attack pattern. But if we think about an anomaly intrusion detection system that is considering a single packet to generate the alert, then we can also think that if more than one single packet has been flagged as anomalous, then we can say that if we have a large number of these anomalous packets incoming in our network, we can flag anyway the alert as a real alert, as an incident, and not just as a false positive. So to test finally our idea, to see if our idea was really working, we choose two different ways. We choose a public data set that, help us in showing to the community that what we have done is really working. And then we choose a private data set that, of course, cannot be disclosure for privacy stuff and so on, as you all know. And let's say that this was like just a proof for us, so we can publish the result and we will show you the result, but you have to believe us. Okay. So and then we had also to test if our idea was working as we made one of our requirements to the architecture to work with both signature and anomaly-based system putting as input system. So we tested with Snort, and we coupled it also with our own system. So Poseidon was used in once was used as input as also as output anomaly detection system. So this, let's say that this way of testing the system can grant us to have a good architecture, that the idea is really working, that this is not just our mind. So if you're not familiar with DARPA, DARPA is a very famous and old, unfortunately, dataset that has been presented in 1999 for an intrusion detection system evaluation phase. And let's say that there has some weaknesses inside. That's why we choose also to have our data private dataset. Because it cannot be considered anymore a good example of the nowadays traffic. But let's say that his weaknesses don't really affect our system because we are not taking into account those parameters that were used to tune the system that has been presented in 1999. So our private dataset is a dump of 5 days of HTTP traffic. As I said before, we are mainly focused on protecting what today is a hot topic, so web application. And we collected it from our network of our university. We didn't inject any kind of attack, so we had to rely only on what the users were, or the possible attackers, or the scanners most of the time, were doing outside. And we didn't tune the dataset in any way. So I think that you know that to have a good anomaly detection phase, most of the times the training dataset is cleaned. I mean, there is somebody that is inspecting and taking out everything that it's not, that it's already an attack, to have the most suitable dataset to train the system. So we didn't do that. It was a choice to see how strong was our system in a real condition, because when somebody is deploying an intrusion detection system, they don't have time to clean the data set. The data will be the same that the system will see every day. So these are the benchmarks. On the left part of the picture, you can see what has been done with DARPA. And on the right side, you can see what has been done with our private dataset. So unfortunately, Snort was not able to find any kind of attack in our dataset. We were expecting something like this because Snort doesn't have signatures for scanners or for particularly web application like, for example, PHP, MyAdmin, or something like that. So even if we detect the attacks on this kind of web application, we couldn't test Snort. So there are only here we present only the test with Poseidon. What is really interesting, for example, in the first two columns of the HTTP protocol, you can see that Snort scored a detection rate of close to 60%, but he also had almost 600 false positives. So for 600 times, the people at the IT department were going to be disturbed by this. When we apply our architecture, so when we put together Snort with Aphrodite, then we have the same detection rate, so no affection on the completeness of the system, but the accuracy of the system is really improved. We have only 5 attacks. Well, let's say that Poseidon has the same, on Poseidon we have the same effect, but because in Poseidon originally we have 100% of detection rate and only 15 phase positive, okay, it's zero, but it was easy to achieve this. Let's go, for example, for, well, the SMTP protocol. Okay, Snort was okay, didn't detect any kind, didn't produce any kind of phase positive. Poseidon, because it's based on, it's examining a single packet, so there were almost 6 1,000 half false positive, but here you see now that we have less than half. So it's close to 3,000. So again, the architecture is working. And you can see that everywhere, except with Snort on SMTP that didn't produce any kind of false positive, we have a reduction. Can be quite a huge reduction in false positive or a smaller one, but also on Telnet, for example, Snort produced almost 400 false positive, and we have only 6 now. Okay. Our private dataset, with Poseidon, we had, without Aphrodite, we have more than 1,500 false positive. And then when putting together with the architecture, we have less than half. So we have 774. In this case, this is a very good result because we didn't clean the dataset. In the other case, the DARPA dataset had a training set completely clean, so we used the completed clean dataset, and then in the evaluation dataset there were the attacks. So because nowadays we have to rely on dirty traffic, and we don't have the possibility to clean all this stuff, this traffic to feed the anomaly detection system, the result with our private dataset is quite good. What we can add this? Well, so you have seen that, we have seen that our architecture is working. And let's say that now there are some open problems. We have implemented Aphrodite for in that way with an anomaly detection system, not only because we wanted to, let's say that we wanted to reduce the workload of the IT personnel. So if I've seen system that tries to reduce false positive, making a person classifying all the traffic. So there is a person that has to classify all the alerts that has been that have been produced by an intrusion detection system, and then the system is learning how to classify unwanted attacks. But in this case, and the system has to be retrained every time, every like week, this person has to again train the system. So in this case, we don't need to overload the personnel, the IT personnel, because we just need to set up some basic parameters like the threshold that we need to check if the output, for example, the output is exceeding this threshold, and some other few parameters. So right now, we would like to, what we are researching is a way to make this completely automatic. So to set in an automatic way the threshold, if possible to clean as much as possible the data training set, again in an automatic way. And we have already seen that Aphrodite can work also with dirty data sets, so with dirty training data sets. So we can say that right now the system is already more than a stable, more than a developing version. It's almost quite stable. So, question time. If somebody has 2 questions. Oh. Yes. Well, let's say that the only problem right now is to make the input intrusion detection system able to communicate with our correlation engine. So, for example, with Snort, it was a very easy implementation because the correlation engine was looking inside the database that was used to put the alerts of Snort, and this was made in real time. So as long as there is a common platform for the two systems to talk, then it's okay. But let's say that this was like a proof of concept. Let's say we built the architecture, we verified that the architecture is working, and then we can think how to link the architecture with the input intrusion detection system. But yeah, the problem is to make them talk. Other questions? Yes. Okay, the question was how we can inspect our traffic, how can we characterize the traffic? Well, you mean how we know that outbound traffic is related with the previous connection, or what we look exactly inside? Okay, we inspect the payload, only the payload. So we look at the header field of the packet to link it with to track the related connection. So the connection that has been opened by this client to this server. And when we have tracked the connection, we inspect only the payload. So the problem is right now that the response of the server can be quite huge. For example, if we think of a normal web page can be around 30 kilobytes. So we have to inspect quite a huge packet, and that was the problem of using the original page system or using other anomaly detection systems that are on the market right now, because they are quite good in detecting something in the input, because commonly the input is quite small, but when you have to look on the for the response, then the response is quite huge. So if we are on an Ethernet network, you know, it's around almost 2 kilobytes. And when we will have IPv6, maybe, finally, then it will be greater. And that's the problem. But the system, responds quite well to this problem. Okay? Did I answer you? Okay. Other questions? Yes. Sorry, I didn't hear the question. You mean the signature-based system or to tuning? Okay. To tune our system. So you mean for setting the threshold and cleaning the dataset. So the question is how we plan to clean the dataset, how we plan to set the threshold. Okay. Well, that is statistic-based. And we have to look at the world of statistics. So let's think, for example, that if we have a data set, we can apply a light anomaly detection on the data set, and we can take out what is really unlike the samples that are inside the data set. So again, for example, data mining techniques, for example. And because we can make these, well, in this case, we need online and real-time intrusion detection system. If we are thinking about cleaning a dataset, we can think that this operation can be also made offline. So we can apply techniques that are really CPU time-consuming because we can afford this in that moment. So we are planning to use, we are already using data mining techniques to clean the dataset. And setting the threshold, there are several approaches, like, for example, in any case, we have to look at the samples. And to determine if it's good, for example, to take the maximum distance between the current sample and our model to set the threshold, or to see the distribution and decide, okay, we have the mean and this is the variance and we are going to take this value. So anyway, statistical approaches. Unfortunately, even a human cannot determine this, because what the human can do is just set a threshold, see if it's good, and then lower it or make it greater. But that's the only point that the human can do. So yeah, of course, the automatic way cannot be the right solution, but we are trying to do that. Yes. Yeah, that's the point. The question is how we manage the UDP packets. Poseidon can handle also UDP packets if there is a payload inside. So this is not really the problem. But if we think about UDP services, then we have to consider maybe they are not going to produce output. That's the point. So let's say that we didn't benchmark yet the application, also because you need a data set to do this. And right now, I have tried to ask for several data sets also to publish them, but the answer is always no, because of privacy. So let's say that if there is somebody interesting and we want to make a study on a certain field, then we can do that. But right now, I can only say to you, well, okay, if there is the response, Aphrodite can work. If there is no response, I have to cut off the exception and have to hope that... But in that case, we go for something like host intrusion detection system in that case, on the application side. There was somebody? Yes. Okay, this is a good question because, let's say that right now we didn't put inside the Poseidon a fragmentation, the reassembly of the fragment. There are some issues with this. I mean, there are the well-known, even if they are not so applied, attacks against the reassembly of the intrusion detection system. Well, Snort has proved that they can be, in a certain way, it can be protected for them. So we plan to apply almost the same techniques. But right now, we look only inside we look at every single packet. So if the packet is fragmented in multiple IP datagrams, for example, then it will be examined in that way. So there were some attacks of fragmentation inside the DARPA, and Poseidon responded in a good way, but right now I cannot tell you, oh, yes, it's fragmentation-free. No, I can't. But somebody has thought about it before, so I think that if I apply almost the same technique, my intrusion detection system can work almost in good way. Yes? Yeah, that's the last question. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's possible. I told you, right now we need to benchmark the architecture and the whole system more. So there are, of course, conditions that we didn't think yet or that we didn't apply yet. So let's say that it's promising, that it's something that I didn't see in this shape before, in this form before. Okay, thank you so much for the attention.